Hello, Saints. Good to be back here with y'all. And let's go to the Lord to ask His grace upon us to give out this word. Father, in the name of Jesus, that's what my prayer is that this word of yours would go out and be a blessing, Father, to all that are listening. And I thank you, Father, that it will raise our faith level up into a way that would make us walk into the realm of your kingdom, Father. And I thank you for that. And I thank you, Lord, that the word is anointed. And when it goes out in the correct way, it brings results. And I praise you for that, Father, in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. To your glory, Lord, let this good word go out in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, I want to talk about our words. Our words matter. That's what I've titled this. Let's start out James chapter 3 and verse 2. For in many things we all stumble. If any stumbles not in word, the same as a perfect man, able to bridle the whole body also. So, on our way to walking in this maturity, we have to learn not to stumble in our words, what we speak. We have to learn to agree with the word of God. Verse 3 of James 3, it says, now if we put the horses' bridles into their mouth that they may obey us, we turn about their whole body also. You see, all you have to do is agree with the word, and your whole body is going to turn around, glory to God. God's word that is conceived in your spirit, then formed by the tongue and spoken out of your own mouth, becomes a spiritual force releasing the ability of God within you. And that's why Paul said in Philippians chapter 4 and verse 13, I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me. His heart or his spirit had received God's word. It was not Paul's ability that made him say that, but it was the ability of God formed in him by the word of God and out of the abundance of his heart. That's what his mouth spoke. Those that say they can and those that say they can't are both right. Words are the most powerful thing in the universe. Now, if you read in John chapter 1 and verse 1, it says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. We have to learn to use our words more effectively. Now, the words you speak are either going to put you over or it's going to hold you in bondage. And today, there's a lot of Christians out there that have been taken captive by what they speak with their own mouth. And by the prayer of their own mouth, they have been set in a position where they can't receive from God. And we've all done it at one time or another. We've used our tongue to form the very words that defeated us. We have even prayed contrary to the word of God. We have prayed defeat and received it. We have prayed the problem and it became greater. Even prayer produces after its kind. The word says in Mark 11:24, therefore I say unto you, all things whatsoever you pray and ask for, believe that you receive them and you shall have them. Jesus set forth this great truth about spiritual law. God's word is spiritual law. It functions just as sure as any natural law. Now we've learned how to work with natural law and in dealing with the natural law, let's take electricity. We've learned that if we work with that law by obeying and enforcing it, that electrical force will work for us. But if you violate that law that governs or controls electricity, you're going to get in trouble. But as long as we enforce the law that controls electrical forces, it'll produce energy to give us light. It'll heat our homes. It'll cook our meals. It'll wash our clothes. And yet, it won't harm us in any way. It's very useful and safe when we understand and apply the law by which it is controlled. However, that same force that cooks, cleans, does all of those things, that same force can burn you, kill you, and destroy if the law that governs electricity is not enforced. So are the words, listen to me, so are the words that come forth out of your mouth. They will work for you to put you over in life if you control those words and bring them into obedience to spiritual law, which is the word of God. Words governed by spiritual law become spiritual forces working for you, and those outer words will work against you. The spirit world is controlled by the word of God. The natural world is to be controlled by man speaking God's word. Now, the spoken word of God is a creative power. Therefore, even the words of our prayers should be chosen very carefully and spoken accurately. We have often prayed, Lord, I have prayed and it's not working out. The devil has defeated me. But the word said, all things whatsoever you pray and ask for, believe that you receive them and you shall have them. Defeat's not what you desire, so don't pray it or say it. Now, you can see how the wrong choice of words can cause even your prayers to work against you. And you've prayed, Lord, I've got this problem and it's getting worse. That's not the way to speak. Let's compare this prayer with the word of God. First, you have prayed the problem and not the answer. The word said, pray the things you desire. You desire the answer, don't you? Secondly, you have released faith in the ability of the enemy. And to make it worse, you establish the words of the devil. That prayer doesn't work. Things are getting worse. You're walking by sight and not by faith. You're using your five senses to declare what the word of God talks against. You have denied the word of God. You have done it because of the lack of knowledge. God said in Hosea chapter 4 and verse 6, my people are destroyed or cut off for lack of knowledge. Lack of knowledge has caused men to be destroyed and lives to suffer needless loss. Now, spiritual law is for your good. It is to produce the things you need and desire, but speaking and praying contrary to the word of God or spiritual law will be just as disastrous as violating the law of electricity. We have prayed in all manner of prayer that the Bible doesn't teach. We prayed to Jesus, and that's unscriptural way to pray. Words are important, folks. Begin now to become word conscious. Words are like little seeds that produce after their kind. Learn to pray according to the word of God. God's word will produce after his kind, just like putting seed in the ground. Matthew 12 and 35, the good man out of his good treasure bringeth forth good things, and the evil man out of his evil treasure bringeth forth evil things. Jesus said in John chapter 16, 23 and 24, and in that day you shall ask me no question. Verily, verily, I say unto you, if you shall ask anything of the Father, he will give it you in my name. Hitherto have you asked nothing in my name. Ask, and you shall receive, that your joy may be made full, glory to God. Prayer is your legal right to use faith-filled words to bring God on the scene in your behalf, or for another, that your joy may be full. It is the word abiding in you that causes faith to be present in your words. John 15, 7 and 8. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask whatsoever you will, and it shall be done unto you. Herein is my Father glorified, that you bear much fruit, and so shall you be my disciples. Now notice it glorifies the Father when you get your prayer answered and your needs met. Verse 11 says, these things have I spoken unto you, that my joy may be in you, and that your joy may be made full. Your joy can be full if the word of Mark 11:24 abide in you. Whatsoever you pray and ask for, believe that you received them. And faith will make your prayer work. Prayer won't work without faith, but faith will work without prayer. Prayer is one of the means of releasing faith. So if we will line ourselves up with the Word of God and release our faith when we pray, we will see the power of God come alive in our lives. God's Word is just as powerful today as it was the day He spoke it. Not one bit of power has left God's Word. God's creative power is still in His Word, just as it was when He stood there in the beginning of time. And then He said, "Light be." And what happened? Light was. Now here's what I want you to see. You can speak God's words after Him and they'll work for you. But they must be formed in your spirit. They have to become a part of you. They must abide in you continually. It says in Genesis chapter 1, God created the heavens and earth. Well, what did He use to create the heavens and the earth? It says in Hebrews 11:3, by faith we understand that the worlds have been framed by the word of God, so that what is seen hath not been made out of things which appear. The world was not made out of things you can see. You can't see spoken words, nor can you see faith with the physical eye. The words that God spoke out of His mouth framed this universe, set it in motion. And it stands today in obedience to the words that God spoke back then. He said in Genesis 1:6, let there be a firmament in the midst of the waters and let it divide the waters from the waters. It came into being and divided the waters from the land. And it's still divided from the land today. The universe, the whole universe is still obeying those words that He spoke many eons ago. That's the words that God spoke. Because God said it, didn't change it, it stayed. And He didn't back up and say, maybe it will, or I hope so. No. He said it by the words of His mouth, and all hell stood up and took notice, glory to God. Now, it could be that many years took place between Genesis chapter 1, verse 1, when God created the earth, and verse 2. Where He said the earth was void and without form. Because why would God create an earth without form or void? You see, what went wrong from the beginning was that Satan had come in to destroy the work of God on the earth. And now there was darkness on the face of the earth. What'd God do? Then He said, let there be light. It was the creative power that flowed out of God's mouth that turned the universe's light on and caused every creation to come into being. And we read in Genesis chapter 1 and verse 26, and God said, let us make man in our image after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the heavens, and over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creepy thing that creeps upon the earth. Then God delegated that power to man to dominate this earth. He created Adam. And He put that authority in Adam. And He said, now you dominate the earth, Adam. So here we got Adam. He was a ruler of the earth. He was a high potentate of the whole earth. And then what happened? And then that snake showed up in the garden. That snake said to Eve, you'll not surely die if you eat of that fruit. God knows you'll be like Him if you eat of that fruit. You're going to be smart like God. And what happened? Eve ate of the forbidden fruit. And I guess she talked Adam into it because the word said in 1 Timothy 2:14, and Adam was not deceived, but the woman being much deceived has fallen into transgression. Well, in any case, Adam ate of the fruit, turned that power and authority over to the enemy. And then Satan became the god of this world. 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 4 says, in whom the god of this world hath blinded the minds of the unbelieving, that the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God, should not dawn upon them. But glory to God, Jesus Christ came and he took that power back for us. Jesus, God's word, came and took flesh upon himself. You ever wondered how he did that? How God did that? Because theologians say it can't be done. A virgin can't bear a child. It's impossible. Well, we got the word of God, which tells us in Mark chapter 10 and verse 27, Jesus looking upon them said, with men it is impossible, but not with God. For all things are possible with God. Whatever God says, he will perform. And if you'll notice, throughout the Bible, God never did do anything that he didn't say first. He said it, and then he did it. The power to do it was in the word. Luke chapter 1 and verse 37. For no word from God shall be void of power. The Bible tells us that in Hebrews 1 and 3, he is upholding all things by the word of his power. It didn't say by the power of his word. It said by the word of his power. The Holy Spirit put that in that exactness the way he wanted. The word of his power. If he had said the power of his word, that would have meant that there was some power in God's word, but not all power. In other words, that's where his power is. It's in the word, in what he says, and how he speaks it. It's not impossible for God to perform his every declaration. He can declare and do exactly what he says he's going to do. And we find that God created man with the ability to operate in that same kind of faith, glory to God. So control those words that come forth out of your mouth. Bring them into obedience to the word of God, which is God's spiritual law. Man was created in the image of God, in his likeness. There was creative power that flowed out of the mouth of God, and you were created in the image of God. Then according to the scriptures and what Jesus said, you have the same ability dwelling or residing on the inside of you, glory to God. Adam gave man's authority over to Satan. Jesus got that authority back because he was born of a virgin. And the way he was born of a virgin was the way that God created the universe. God said it's going to be done. Bless God, it was done. And ain't nothing impossible for God to perform everything that he declares. When he found a woman who agreed with him, it's going to be done. Luke 1:34 said, then said Mary unto the angel, how shall this be, seeing I know not a man? She didn't doubt it could be done. She just said, how? And he said, the Holy Spirit shall come upon thee, and the power of the highest shall overshadow thee. Luke 1:35. And then in verse 38, Mary said, be it unto me according to thy word. She agreed with the word of God and establishing that fact upon the earth, and it came into being. Now, is it so unreasonable to believe that that's what happened? God said in his word that we are, 1 Peter 1:23, having been begotten again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible through the word of God, which lives and abides. The word of God implanted into your spirit caused you to become a new creation that never existed before. Born again of the spirit of the living God. The rebirth of the human spirit took place because the word of God lodged in your spirit. It caused you to act upon the word. And then what happened? You were born again. You became that new creation. You were once a sinner, but now you're born again. You're born into the righteousness of God, fully able to stand in the presence of the Father in holy boldness and say, Father, I come to you in the name of your Son Jesus without fear of condemnation, because I am the righteousness of God in Christ. I'm no longer a poor sinner crawling around in the dust, begging and pleading, dear Lord, help me, please, as some of these Christian songs say. No, we are the righteousness of God. We're joint heirs with Jesus Christ, glory to God. The word planted in your spirit calls you to become a new creation because the word of God declared it. Now, I want you to see how God caused a virgin to conceive and bear a child. The virgin said, be it unto me according to your word. And the Bible says, and the word became flesh and dwelt among us, John 1:14. Now, the word was in the beginning with God, wasn't it? The word came unto Mary and said, it will be so. Mary said, I'm going to receive it, be it unto me according to your word. She first received the word into her spirit or her heart, and then it was manifest in her physical body. The word of God was implanted into her womb. It was the embryo, the seed, and it took upon itself flesh. Just as the living word of God placed in your spirit took upon itself new creation life. The word of God literally formed within her womb and took flesh upon it. The word of God became alive, living, walking, and talking on this earth. And what did he come here for? He came here to destroy the work of the devil that was done in Adam. The work that was done in Adam was destroying the creation of God and the ability of God to work through man. But when Jesus came, he got that authority back, glory to God. And what did he do? He delegated it back to man, to the believer. Jesus stood on the mountain before he ascended and said, all authority has been given unto me in heaven and on earth. Matthew 28:18. He had it all, every bit of it. Then he turned to the believers and said, Mark 16:17-18, and these signs shall accompany them that believe. In my name shall they cast out demons, they shall speak with new tongues, they shall take up serpents, and if they drink any deadly thing, it shall in no wise hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. Jesus said this. He said, now you go in my name. You cast out them demons. You speak with new tongues. You lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. Now you can see God's power, God's authority delegated back to man. So man is not restored to his original state, which he was. In fact, he is in better shape than he has ever been, thank God. The born-again man is a joint heir with Jesus. Praise the name of the Lord. If Jesus is the righteousness of God, then you are the righteousness of God in Christ. And we need to quit praying and saying, Lord, I'm unworthy. Thank God. If Jesus is not unworthy, bless God, you're not unworthy. You have a right to stand in the throne room of God. We've been beaten down, and the devil has just trampled us in the dust because of a sense of unworthiness. And I'll tell you, when this word gets in your spirit, you'll never be the same again. Lay hold on this word. Rise up and enter into it, glory to God. The enemy knows there's power. There's power in your words that you speak. And that's why he tries so desperately to get you to confess doubt, fear, and unbelief. You see, confessing that you are unworthy after being born again, that's contrary to the word of God. You are unworthy, but that old man died with Christ. You are now a new creation in Christ. Anyone in Christ cannot be unworthy. The word says in 2 Corinthians 5:17-21, wherefore, if any man is in Christ, he is a new creature. The old things are passed away. Behold, they are become new. But all things are of God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ, and gave unto us the ministry of reconciliation. To wit, that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself, not reckoning unto them their trespasses, and having committed unto us the word of reconciliation. Verse 20, we are ambassadors, therefore, on behalf of Christ. As though God were entreating by us, we beseech you on behalf of Christ, be ye reconciled to God. Him who knew no sin, he made to be sin on our behalf, that we might become the righteousness of God in him. We need to be speaking faith-filled words. Now let's see what Jesus had to say about faith-filled words. I want you to see how he used his words and how they produced for him. In Mark 11, verses 11 through 14, says this, and he entered into Jerusalem, into the temple, and when he had looked around about upon all things, it being now eventide, he went out into Bethany with the 12. And on the morrow, when they were come out from Bethany, he hungered. And seeing a fig tree afar off having leaves, he came, if haply he might find anything thereon. And when he came to it, he found nothing but leaves, for it was not the season of figs. And he said unto it, and he answered and said unto it, no man eat fruit from thee henceforth forever. And his disciples heard him. Now Jesus had gone to the fig tree to get him some figs and didn't find none. And he said this, he said, no man eat fruit from thee henceforth forever. And he just walked off. And when he came back that way the next day, verse 21 says, the disciples called Jesus' attention to the fig tree. They said, and I'm going to paraphrase, the leaves are withered. That thing died from the roots. Jesus, did you notice that? That's the tree that you cursed. Well, I always wonder why Jesus cursed the fig tree. That word curse means that Jesus spoke negative to it. But I want you to notice the words that the Bible uses. It said he put a curse on the fig tree. Now, we as believers have put curses on people by the words of our mouth. I've heard people do that. Now, they're part of the problem. The words of their mouth worked against them. Instead of putting faith-filled words out there, they have been deceived by the evil one to tear down what God was trying to build by the words of their own mouth. We need the God kind of faith. Now, I want you to notice that Jesus knew there was power in his words. When he spoke to that fig tree, what happened? It withered up and died. Now, notice in verse 22, he said, have faith in God, or have the God kind of faith. Then in verse 23, Jesus stopped long enough to tell his disciples how the God kind of faith works. You and I need to know how it works. If you have faith in your heart, it's the God kind of faith. The Bible says in Romans 12 and 3, according as God hath dealt to each man a measure of faith, it is the God kind of faith. It is the same measure everybody got when they were born again. Problem is, most of us haven't developed it. The Word tells you how to develop your faith. Faith comes by hearing, hearing by the Word of God. Romans 10 and 17. The literal Greek says, faith comes by report, that report comes from God. Hearing what God said is going to build faith inside you. Because he's able to perform his every declaration. Now, Jesus tells you how to apply the God kind of faith and get it to work. And perhaps you tried it in all kinds of ways. You tried it by bombarding the gates of heaven, by just praying it over and over and over, and you found that didn't work. Well, let's see something that does work, and let's act on it. Here's what Jesus said in Mark 11, 23. For verily I say unto you that whosoever, that's all of us, shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed, and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith. He didn't say just the things you say to the mountain. He said those things which he said, everything you say, you have to watch what you say. You have to believe that those things that you say, everything you say is going to come to pass. And that will activate the God kind of faith within you. And those things which you say will come to pass. He shall have. He didn't say he had it then, did he? He said he shall have whatsoever he saith. And one of the translations says he shall have whatsoever he is saying. In other words, it shows he's continually saying that. The Bible says, let us hold fast the profession or confession of our faith. Hebrews 10:23. It didn't say hold fast to your prayer. When you hold fast to the prayer, you're holding fast to your problem. Because most of the time you prayed the problem. Turn loose of the problem. Get hold of your confession. Quit praying the problem. Start saying the answer. For verily I say unto you, whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed. You know, when you prayed, you said, Lord, the mountain's getting bigger. It's not getting any better. It's getting bigger, Lord. I prayed that it ain't working out. You are holding on to the problem. You hadn't got the answer yet. You're not there yet. You are still too involved with the problem before you. Folks, the answer is in the confession. The answer is in believing and confessing what the Word says. The Word says that it will be removed and cast into the sea. Bless God, that's what I'm going to be confessing. We should continually affirm and confess this. I thank God, though it looks like the mountain's getting bigger, in the name of Jesus, I see it removed by the eye of faith. By the eye of faith, I see it removed. That's creative power within you. Learn to use it wisely. When you continually affirm and confess, I thank God, though it looks like the mountain's the problem is getting bigger, it's not. In the name of Jesus, I see it removed by the eye of faith. And somebody might say to you, only enough's going to say that if the mountain's still there. If the trouble's still there and you know it's there, you can't deny its existence. Why, sure you can. You can speak against it. We don't deny the existence of the mountain. We deny the right of it to exist in my way. I don't see it as being in my way. I see it in the way the Word said. And that's out of my sight. It's gone. It's removed. The Word says the just shall live by faith, Hebrews 10:38, and not by sight. We walk by faith and not by sight, 2 Corinthians 5:7. But a lot of Christians are walking by sight, not by faith. Let me give you an illustration. Let's say you're driving down the highway or in town at 60 miles per hour. Somebody pulls out, let's say, 3 blocks ahead of you. And they're right in the middle of the road crossways. And you slam your brakes on. We're talking 3 blocks ahead of you here. You slam your brakes on, there's a car right in the middle of the road. Then a car from behind hits you, and suddenly there's a 10-car pileup right behind you. And somebody's going to ask you, what's wrong with you? Why, there was a car in the road way up there. Well, it sure was, but it was doing 30 miles per hour just 2 more seconds, and it would have been gone out of your way. What are you doing? Because you were going totally by what you saw. You observed what was there, and then you slammed on the brakes. And that's what a lot of Christian people are doing. Whew, it's still there. It's still there. That car's still there. You have established it. But if you will confess its removal, praise God, when you get there, it's going to be gone. You see, if you drive your car the way you've been driving your spiritual life, how many times would you have wrecked that thing? Probably a dozen times or more. And you can see that. You don't pay any attention to the car out there 3 blocks up the road. The computer in your head is telling you he's going 30 miles per hour. In 2 more seconds, he'll be on the other side of the road. There ain't no danger. I'll just keep on going. And you sit there and you see that car. You never flinch. You never reach for the brakes. You just drive along perfectly at ease. Why? Because you have faith in what that guy's doing. You are actually believing something you're not seeing. You are believing the end results. Driving your car successfully is based on split-second timing. Now, he may decide to just throw on his brakes right there and stop. That's when you would want to know what was wrong with him. Apply that when the storms of life come against you. And the devil said, look here, you'll never be able to get over that. All you need to do is ignore him and say, thank God I believe the word, not you. I'll not be there when I get there. That circumstance ain't going to be there when I get there. It's going to be gone because God said. And that kind of faith will move mountains. You may get to the foot of the mountain sometimes before it moves, and it'll either move or there'll be a hole that comes in it, bless God. But if you go to Mealy Mountain around and say, I believe it's getting slower. I don't believe it's going to leave. You're in trouble. Jesus told us to speak to that mountain. Say to the mountain, be removed and cast into the sea. Speak what you want done with it. Don't go to God and pray, dear God, it's getting worse. The Lord said, he said that you can have what you say. And you said it's getting worse. Well, that ought to tell you something. Jesus said the God kind of faith works by the words of your mouth. There is no release of the God kind of faith without the words of the mouth. It's released by the words of your mouth. In Luke chapter 17 and verses 5 and 6, the disciples came to Jesus and said, Lord, increase our faith. Give us more faith. And the Lord said, if you had faith as a grain of a mustard seed, you might say unto this sycamine tree, be thou plucked up by the root, and thou be thou planted in the sea, and it should obey you. Well, it was standing right there by that tree. It probably wasn't close to a mountain. He said, that tree should obey you. He didn't say a word about increasing their faith. In other words, he said, you got to learn to use what you got. He said, the way you use it is to start saying some things in faith. Speak it out of your mouth. Plant the seed. You know, a lot of people have desired healing. They want a harvest of healing and a harvest of physical needs met, but they have never planted a seed. The law of Genesis says everything produces after its own kind. You know, I could be the best rice farmer in the state of Arkansas. And I could sit in my house and say, praise God, I believe in rice. My grandfather believed in rice. My daddy believed in rice. My brother believes in rice. Everybody ought to have a field of rice. And I could have 10 tons of seed on my truck waiting to be planted if I just sit there and praise God because I believe in rice. And never act on what I know. To plant the seed, I'll never harvest a grain of rice. And there's a lot of Christians out there doing that. They're saying, I believe the Lord's able. Yes, brother, I believe he's able to heal me. Well, the devil knows that the Lord's able. That ain't a profound statement. What you have to determine is, will he? Word says he will. Then you must start agreeing with that. The word is what works. It's not our prayer that works. It's the word and faith that works. Prayer won't make faith work. We've often thought that if we just pray long enough, it'll soon work out. No, it won't. We need to get this straight now. Faith will make prayer work, but prayer won't make faith work. Faith will work without prayer. Prayer won't work without faith. Now, we have determined from the Word of God that you can have what you say. And not many people do because they've never controlled their words. Jesus said it. I didn't say it. I'm just telling you what he said. Now, I'm smart enough to believe that Jesus knew what he was talking about. Jesus made a profound statement that you can have what you say through the knowledge of God. Now, let's read 2 Peter 1 and 2. Grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. Well, how is grace and peace going to be multiplied to you? Well, that's through the knowledge of God and then Jesus our Lord. Well, what's some of the knowledge of God? How his faith works. How does God's faith work? If you find how his faith works, you'll know how your faith is going to work. God never did anything without saying it first, and you hardly do either. How many of you have ever said, well, I'm going to go uptown. I'm going to go to work. I'm going to do this or I'm going to do that. And most of the time, you always say it before you do it because you're programmed to operate that way. So if you don't say some things in faith concerning some of the things that you believe, you'll never operate in faith in those areas. The word says in 2 Corinthians 4:13, we having the same spirit of faith according as it is written, I believed and therefore have I spoken. We also believe and therefore speak. And it says in 2 Peter 1:3, according as his divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness through the knowledge of him that has called us to glory and virtue. His divine power has given unto us all things. How? Through the knowledge of God. Through the knowledge of God. And he's saying that if you get the knowledge of God, then you have the understanding of God, the wisdom of God. And the wisdom of God is the word of God. Then he said that he has given to you by his divine ability all things that pertain to life and godliness. Now, if healing don't pertain to life, what does? Well, I'll tell you something else it does. Our provisions also pertain to life, our finances. Paul said in Philippians 4:19, but my God shall supply all your needs according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Having abundant supplies to God, to life and godliness, you ought to have abundance in the name of Jesus. Word says you can. And if you act on the word of faith, if you begin to do it, now it ain't going to happen overnight. That's the thing I want to bear hard on. It ain't going to happen overnight. It won't happen just because you say it one or two times. It is going to happen because you continually affirm what God's word says until it gets into your spirit and becomes a part of you. It says in James 1:21, receive with meekness the engrafted word, which is able to save your souls. He said the word of God engrafted into your spirit will save your soul. The word of God engrafted in your spirit will deliver you from every circumstance of life. If you got the word for it, get it into your spirit because it'll deliver you. And if you will continue to believe and affirm that, I don't care how big the mountain looks. You ought not to be moved by what you see. You should only be motivated by what you believe because the word is the final authority. Partakers of the divine nature of God. In 2 Peter 1:4, it says, by the divine ability of God, are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these you might be partakers of the divine nature. Well, what nature is that? That's the divine nature of God. He said you are partakers of God's nature. Praise God. Partakers of God's nature. Well, what kind of nature does God have? Righteousness. Righteousness, not unworthy nature. God doesn't have that. He is righteousness. And he said, you are partakers of the righteousness of God. For he hath made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. 2 Corinthians 5:21. The very nature of God should dominate your spirit when you're born again. Now, it didn't say it automatically dominates your body. And that's where a lot of folks have it all squirreled up. When they were born again, they thought their body got saved. They thought their head got saved. And later they wanted to do some things that were wrong after they were born again. You know, the devil said, if you were saved, you wouldn't want to do that. You must not have received anything. That devil's a liar. You must not have been saved or you wouldn't have thought those bad thoughts. He's a liar. How many of you know I got news for you? Your head didn't get saved. Your body didn't get saved. Your spirit was born again. You were created the righteousness of God through Christ Jesus with God on the inside. Now, he has to permeate outward. He has to come outward, and the spirit man must bring the body into subjection to the Spirit of God. You have to mortify the deeds of your body or the flesh. To hear God's word, the flesh has to be disciplined to the word of God. Your flesh doesn't always want to do the things your spirit would do. Galatians 5:17 says, for the flesh lusts after the spirit, or against the spirit, and the spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary the one to the other, so that you cannot do the things that you would. Sometimes your body will say, oh, I'd rather not. And the spirit man on the inside of you will say, get up, body. You're going anyway. You have to do that. Either your spirit or your body is going to dominate you. And when you're born again, your spirit is supposed to dominate the body. And if you'll notice the word supposed to, sometimes your spirit doesn't dominate because you fail to act on what you know. The word said you are partakers of the divine nature of God. If you are partakers of the divine nature of God and God spoke and called creation into being, what do you think is going to happen when you start saying some things in faith? God said you can have whatsoever you say if you doubt not, believe in your heart the things that you're speaking. Then it says in the book of James, chapter 3, verses 1 through 6, my brethren, be not many masters, knowing that we shall receive the greater condemnation. For in many things we offend all. If any man offend not in word, the same is a perfect man, and able also to bridle the whole body. Behold, we put bits in the horses' mouths, that they may obey us, and we turn about their whole body. Behold also the ships, which though they be so great, and are driven of fierce winds, yet are they turned about with a very small helm, whithersoever the governor listeth. Even so, the tongue is a little member, and boasts great thing. Behold, how great a matter a little fire kindleth. And the tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. So is the tongue among our members, that it defileth the whole body, and setteth on fire the course of nature, and it is set on fire of hell. Well, let me tell you in common words what he's saying. He said you could put bits in a horse's mouth and turn his whole body, and you can. He said a great big ship weighing hundreds of thousands of tons is turned to any direction by just a very small rudder on the back of it. And wherever the captain decides to turn it, it'll go there. He goes on and says the tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. So is the tongue. So put among our members that it can defile the whole body, and it setteth on fire the course of nature. Now the word says that the tongue can stop those natural forces. The tongue can destroy the very course of nature that causes you to be healthy. Guess what happens when you begin to say, I believe I'm going to come down with something. I'm coming down with something. Guess what? You probably will. I believe I'm taking a cold. Yeah, you'll get it. I've had some people say, I'm afraid I got cancer. I don't have any proof, but I just believe I got it. It says the tongue will set on fire the course of nature. It will destroy the life-giving flow in you that God put in you to heal you and to make you whole. Everyone has natural healing power within their bodies. And if you cut your finger, you don't have to be concerned about it. It knows how to heal itself. That healing power is within you. And if you go talking sickness and disease and defeat, you have released words that will produce after their kind. You can stop the natural healing power that God put in you by the words of your mouth. Many have stopped divine healing the same way, by negative words. Verses 7 and 8. Every kind of beast and of birds and serpents and of things in the sea is tamed and hath been tamed of mankind, but the tongue can no man tame. Somebody might say, well, see, there ain't no use in trying. The Bible says you can't tame it. No man can tame the tongue. But the Amplified says, but the human tongue can be tamed by no man. It is an undisciplined and unreconcilable, restless evil, full of death, bringing poison. And you know you've got that thing in your mouth. He said the tongue no man can tame. It is an unruly evil that's full of deadly poison. And it'll poison your body. It'll poison your spirit. It'll poison your life. Or it'll put you over in life if used correctly. It'll build life and health into the spirit, soul, and body. He said no man can tame it. But what? Praise God, the Holy Spirit can. Glory be to God. The Holy Spirit can tame it. And it, all you have to do is grab a hold of it and start confessing it. In Jesus' name. Well, folks, I'm out of time. I hope we get to do some more of this next week. God bless you. And we'll see you next week, God willing.